Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, welcome to Luke and Pete's show. This is Luke, that's Pete. I'm chucking in the intro because Pete, you look like you're in the middle of doing something.
No, just changing tabs on my browser.
No worries. Happy Thursday everyone.
Happy Thursday. It's Thursday. We are now balls deep into January.
We are. I'm fuming because I was about to get a cup of tea for me and a white Americano for you, Pete.
Aye.
And the bloody fire alarm went off.
I went to Greg's instead. I couldn't be arsed waiting around for teas and coffees.
Is there a Greg's up there?
Yeah, there's a Greg's up there.
Where is it? In the little bit in Highbury?
Mm. Yeah, mad, isn't it? You don't expect it.
I didn't even know that.
It's in between, I think, a cobbler's and a cafe, and you've got the Greg's in the middle.
The only
they
one...
just run out of the vegan steak Becks wanted to try.
It must be new, because last time I went up there, which is a long time ago, to be fair, it only had a lot of those posh, yummy mummies, Highbury cafe type things.
Mm. But, did you see, I think I said to you, my mate... got an Ocado, one of the Sainsbury's maybe. He was the number one purchaser of a half a litre bottle of San Pellegrino in the whole of Islington. Like, you get a little
and
store.
That is a packed list. I'll tell
I
you
mean,
what.
Come
Sam,
on.
If you said to me San Pellegrino, number one purchaser in Hartlepool
yeah.
or Gosport, not many people are buying San Pellegrino. In Islington, it's probably the number one thing.
Flying off the shelves, the old fizzy water. But Ben isn't his name, and I'm really proud of him.
Yeah, did he get some sort of reward for it? A voucher?
No, he just said you are the number one person. He says it because he buys it every day for his meal deal. So that's how he managed to bag it. Mm. I guess people, yeah.
My father-in-law got a great hack for fizzy water.
Right.
He's got a soda stream.
Soda stream.
Mate. Yeah.
Does it work?
Bang. Yeah, works
Does
fine.
It work? Yeah, but then you've got to get rid of
Keeps
the,
it in the fridge.
Got rid of the little tubes of gas, haven't you?
What do you mean?
The tubes of gas, the canisters.
Yeah, whip those out. Bang, you got yourself some hippie crack.
Hoot! I like the one you should press on the soda stream like 3 or 4 times. Who remembers the 80s? Yeah. And it was go, hoot.
I don't remember that.
Well, it was just basically...
I remember.
It was saying, stop pressing this.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's explode.
Tell you what I do remember. Mr. Frosty.
Oh, apparently nobody ever bought those.
I wish I had one. My mum wouldn't get me one.
Yeah, exactly. No, nobody got bought one. Only like really weird kids who had everything else first. You can still get them. Let's buy one for the office.
Yeah.
And then when everyone's getting really warm and whinging about how warm the studio is, let's get the Mr. Frosty, the crushed ice.
Get the Mr. Frosty out.
Get the Mr. Frosty out.
I reckon that parents objected to paying like 30 quid for something that was essentially just a thing that smashed a load of ice into bits. And you had to squeeze your own flavour on it.
Yeah. Do you reckon there was any metal inside, like a metal blade? That you could probably get your fingers into.
Hope so.
Whoa.
Pete, surely you can get one of those off eBay and take it apart.
I'm not having a dirty old Mr. Freeze. I'm buying new or not at all, Sunshine.
Mr. Freeze is the bad guy played by Arnold Schwarzenegger in Batman and Robin. We're talking about Mr. Frosty here, mate.
Mr. Frosty, sorry.
Yeah. We sound like old shit comedians, don't we? Why are so many...
Cool off.
Why is there such a high percentage of comedians that are fucking shit? Is it just because I'm old now?
I don't think you watch much comedy. I've decided.
I'm a basic bitch when it comes to comedy.
No, you just don't like comedians, so you don't listen, you don't consume.
But they all look like students who never grew up. And
you sound so old.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm asking you whether it's because I'm old.
Well, I mean, they would be dressed exactly as you were dressed, surely. What are you wearing, jeans?
Yeah, but I'm not going on stage, am I?
No, you're doing a podcast. I'll be fuck all.
I'll be dressed like the Rat Pack if I was on stage.
This podcast is already successful, even though neither of us are stand-ups. We've just been doing it longer.
Yeah,
we've earned that pop. Quite frankly,
I think that you know, anyone can do it. That's why anyone can start there and talk shit, can't they?
Yeah, they can. But I mean, you've got to do it good. You've got to be able to write it properly, haven't you?
Good, excellent. I was going to speak to you about Australian bushfires. We haven't mentioned that.
They're probably still going.
They are. Mm. And it's absolutely horrendous and terrifying. And no one needs me to say it, but to add to it, I mean, everyone should donate where they can to help out all the poor people over there, of course, and try and obviously try and rescue some of the animals that are in danger of perishing. I think 500 million have already been killed. It's horrendous. But the reason I wanted to bring it up is just because I wanted to bring into perspective something that really kind of blew my mind when I was looking into this week. So there's a lot of photos earlier this week which put onto Twitter of a glow, like almost like a fire sourced glow over Auckland in New Zealand. Mm. And I don't think people have got a good handle on how far away New Zealand is from Australia. I think I was just off the coast or whatever, but it isn't. Mm. Now, people in New Zealand can now see the glow from these Australian bushfires. It's almost 2,500 kilometres away. So to put that in perspective, that's like us being able to see the glow from fires in Albania. Mm. That's how fierce it is.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It's absolutely a 3-hour, 10-minute flight away, Auckland from Sydney.
Why isn't it affecting flights? Because like obviously when a volcano pops off.
Not sure. Probably is. It probably is. But yeah, I hope everyone, if you're listening from the amazing country of Australia, please do stay safe send you our best.
I just like the fact that I like it. I don't like it, but I'm just saying that obviously Australia have a bit of a hard man leader. And historically, they've kind of always gone for that kind of, not authoritarian, but slightly right-wing.
He fucked off to Hawaii for a couple of weeks.
He was in Hawaii, wasn't he?
Yeah. He came back to some town and got shouted out there. Did you see that?
Yeah,
it was like
wonderful.
In the thick of it. Do you know what it's like to clean up your own mother's piss?
Yeah, it is magnificent. Yeah. These people are just like, yeah, you're getting our voucher out here, mate.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
When politicians decide, at some point, they either get convinced by an advisor or they suddenly wake up one morning and go, do you know what? I'm going to go and see the bloody people today.
Yeah.
And every single time, if they're of that persuasion, they get absolutely battered.
I just think it's a situation where these strongman authoritarian leaders all around the world, they're fine until they have to actually do some governing.
Yeah.
And then they are found out massively. We're going to get this with Johnson in Iran. We're going to get this with obviously Donald Trump is, you know, a man thrashing around in his own piss. But like all of these authoritarians, they can't really govern. They can only say that they hate Muslims. That's all they can really do in 2019, 2020. And when they actually have to come up with an actual fucking plan for a crisis, they've surrounded themselves with people who know fuck all. And so therefore, like you look at Trump and Iran, like they don't have any Iran experts. They got rid of all of them. So like their actual concept behind, you know, any kind of process, they don't have one because they don't have any plans and they don't have the machinery to do it.
Well, they're the kings of saying what they would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what we would do. So basically, it's another old shit. That's not the EU. Well, don't worry about it. What we'll do is we just put a really good trade deal together. Mm. And it's the easiest thing in the world. Yeah. And then literally we're saying things like, it'll be the easiest trade deal in history to do.
Yeah.
And then you have to actually do it. And they're like, turns out
turns out this is 30 years of of incremental improvements, isn't it?
The thing that really made me, the one thing that sticks in my mind about the Iran ordering of that essentially assassination was that the New York Times reported, and I'll just read it to you, officials presented the president with options. The Pentagon tacked on the choice of targeting Soleimani mainly to make other options seem reasonable. They didn't think he would take it. When Mr. Trump chose the option, military officials, flabbergasted, were alarmed.
Don't give him the option.
Hang on a minute. What we'll
You've
do...
You've learnt nothing.
The most volatile, idiotic bloke probably in the world will give him a really stupid option to make the other options look better. That's a gamble, isn't it? To me, that's a low percentage play. If I've got a guy... So, for example, Pete, if I've got a guy who's mad and I say to him, you can have that steak dinner or you can have that plate of dog shit, right?
Yeah.
I'm not putting a plate of dog shit in there to make the steak look better because he might choose the dog shit.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Then you got a man covered in dog shit, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, welcome to Luke and Pete Show.
Welcome to Luke and Pete Show. Everything's got a shit, turns out. And I'm fine with it. I'm cool with it.
I did say, didn't I, at the end of last year, that the next 10 years can't be as mental as the last five.
But it's got off to a bloody good start. 3rd of January.
If anything, it's just maintaining it. It is maintaining it.
I was. I got back to my flat late last night, and after a lovely Christmas, New Year, you know, this is pre-recorded shop. Poppies. You know that I live above a fish shop.
Yeah, I knocked on your door on the 18th of December with my friends to see if you want to come out for a beer, but you did not answer.
Well, did you knock? Because I'm two floors up. I hope you.
I pressed all the buttons.
All of them.
I didn't know which one yours was.
Well, that's not very good, is it?
I pressed all of them.
Well, I just wake up all of my neighbours.
No one was in. Not one person was in.
Yeah, because we live in the centre of Soho. People think it's a brothel, so people are dinging the doorbell all hours of the day.
Oh, okay.
Poppy's fish shop.
Yes. The reason I say that is because that's well, you live above it, right?
Yeah. Well, your second choice was just have some fish and chips.
Yeah.
They were having it was closed yesterday because of a staff party.
Right.
And I was thinking. So it's like this, you know, almost in the middle of January, and they're having like a staff, presumably, what is a Christmas party?
Yeah, some people do that because it's cheaper.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking, what is a fish shop, an oily fish shop party? What do they do?
These people with proper jobs do have time to have fun as well, you know?
I'm just saying, no, but like, it was closed because they were having the party in Poppy's.
Oh, okay, right.
I think that was the case.
Well, you'd hope not.
Well, I don't want them putting the bum on the deep fat fryer like a photocopier.
When you said that, I assumed you were thinking, oh, there's not one person who didn't want to go to the Christmas party that can't keep the shop open.
Right, yeah.
Because they've obviously all just gone to the pub or something.
I would have kept an eye out. I could have fried a few interesting items for the people.
Did you actually want some fish and chips?
No. I'd eaten a full roast dinner.
Where's the fish and chips sit in your top five kind of takeaways?
They're not really up there, to be honest. Yeah, it's behind Chinese, Japanese.
Curry?
Was that the Chinese, Japanese funny knees? Look at these.
Yeah, don't do that.
It heads into racist territory, yeah, but at that point, we're fine. Yeah, at that point, we're fine.
No, but it's prompting.
It's prompting.
If anything, you're given a platform.
Yeah, but I can't remember the racist bit. I'm so woke, I can't remember. I've kept the bits that I enjoyed. I kept the rhyme, but I've got rid of the racism.
On Monday, we found that you were 8 out of 10 happy, and if it went below 6, you would start to request intervention.
Well, actually, I've got to keep on going. I've got to, it's like speed. Keep the bus going quickly.
How woke are you out of 10 in 2020?
I don't know. Maybe I'll regress. Maybe I'll just turn into one of those people. Oh, you identify as attack helicopter. I don't, that sort of thing. Like,
I don't think you're going to get more woke as you get older, are you?
Do you
not many people do that? Nah. Maybe when people get kind of left
I'll be
behind.
I'll be one of those like chill people who kind of like go, like I'm relaxed about everything, man. And I don't really offer opinion one way or the other. I think that's the thing. Don't become more opinionated. Become less opinionated. Then you'd be less angry about stuff.
Hard when you're a broadcaster, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but you don't have to be reactionary. You don't have to be like, you can be a nice broadcaster. Who's that bloke that's on Mourners on Radio 2 with Popmaster?
Ken Bruce.
Ken Bruce.
Yeah.
I'm Ken Bruce.
Or Matt Baker. The BBC's Matt Baker.
Yeah.
He's a bloody lovely fella.
Up all night. What's his name?
Dotton.
Up all night. No, not Dotton, the Scottish guy. Scottish guy who obviously did his show from in the middle of nowhere in America. It was really weird. Hmm. But I used to listen to him for fucking years. Rod Sharp. My name is Rod Sharp and this is Up All Night.
I'm delighted you remember the name. Mm. That's unlike you, isn't it?
I mean, I listened to it a lot. I should be able to.
Speaking of
Graham Torrington's late night love links.
I could see you doing that. I could see you doing it. Pete Donaldson. You can change your name though. You have to change your name.
But
change your name to Dave Clifton. Speaking of wokeness, did you see that? There was a very interesting interview with Terry Gilliam in The Independent.
But again, he's, you know.
I think he literally opened with, I'm fed up of white men being blamed for everything.
He said, I'm fed up of talking about this film that I've been trying to make for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And I am.
What was it? Don Quixote?
But again, you just know you'll get headlines if you just say this wank.
Yeah. The thing is, Terry Gilliam's so comfortable.
Him selling
it doesn't affect him in any way, does it? It doesn't matter. Unless he commits an actual crime and has to go to jail, he can kind of do what he wants, and it's not going to affect him. He's not going to worry about his bottom line.
No, exactly. Yeah, he's probably pretty.
You get a certain category of older, mostly older men who have got to the stage where they don't give a shit.
Well, if you can wait for 20 years to make a film, you're probably all right for a couple of quid. Yeah. I've seen his house in Highgate. It's huge. Huge! One of his many houses, I imagine.
Yeah, I imagine he's got plenty.
Mm.
I'll finish watching The Witcher.
Oh, good.
I enjoyed it.
Did you play The Witcher?
No, is it a good game?
So the reason why I think that's fair to say. The reason why The Witcher TV show exists, I think, is the popularity of The Witcher 3 video game, which was a real trip. It's excellent. So it's available on the Switch now. A wonderful little conversion.
So my brother-in-law, Adam, is a big fan of all the books. And
yes.
He was very excited. And, they trailed it quite heavily.
Well, Henry Cavill plays Geralt, doesn't he?
Yes.
I got the names. I got the names from the video.
Isn't it Cavill?
What?
Isn't it Henry Cavill?
Shit.
Doesn't matter. We know what you meant.
That beautiful man who ticks a lot of boxes for me, sexually.
He's from the Channel Islands. Henry Cavill,
really?
Originally, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I think he is.
That's tell me right off that as. I went out with someone from the Channel Islands, and, you know, and that didn't go well. Nice colour. He's a big fan of the Witcher video games, so he really wanted to get involved.
Oh, that's
in
nice.
This project,
yeah, he's from Jersey. I just checked. Oh, that's really cool, actually. That's great.
So he's really into the project. And is it any good?
I thought it was really good. Yeah. I think it's the battle scenes are good.
A lot of people comparing it to Game of Thrones, but obviously that's not what it's about. But it's a similar kind of text they based it on, you'd probably say.
Yeah, well, Netflix have obviously trailed it so heavily because people they're banking on people looking for a way to fill that Game of Thrones shaped hole. But I thought the plot...
Yennefer. Is Ciri in it?
Yes.
Daughter?
Yeah.
Cool.
They're all in it. But the great thing... You actually just said Ciri. Ciri come up. you've got a lot of source material to work with, of course. So plot-wise, it's decent. Apparently, this first series is only based on a couple of the prequels. So there's a lot to go.
Yeah.
The battle scenes are good. The CGI is well-rendered. The acting's decent. Cavill's a pretty good actor. Mm. Everyone gets their tits out all the time, male and female.
Cool.
So... Just take your clothes off, guys.
Tick, tick, tick.
Enjoy it.
Tick, tick, tick.
I'd love to know where they filmed it, because it's filmed very beautifully.
Chiswick.
Is it?
Chiswick Park.
Is it filmed in our other office with Sam green screen? It looks very good. Yeah, Henry Cavill is a very attractive man. He's also colossally big. Like, massive, you know when people just go to a gym and they build up their muscles or whatever? But he's obviously got a huge frame as
Triangle. Yeah, he's massive. I've interviewed him. He's like...
Could he crush your head like a walnut on his bicep?
Probably, yeah.
My granddad used to crush walnuts on his bicep.
Did he?
Yeah.
I want to try that.
It's hard.
Is it?
Yeah.
Have you got to have like really big biceps or really big forearms?
I think a bit of both, yeah.
Oh, I might have a crack of that. Let's do that. A crack of that, literally. Let's get some walnuts for next week.
All right, we will.
Paulie walnuts.
Make a note of it.
Do I have a production budget for walnuts?
Yeah, probably get some. Mm. But yeah, so I've enjoyed it. And I think I've not really seen many people.
10 ticks.
One thing I do like about it as well, by the way, is it's got a real sense of humour.
Mm.
So it's like, it's not, it doesn't take itself so seriously that it's a bit of a drag. You know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of horrific stuff goes on, but it's a bit of fun as well.
That's why the games are fun too.
Yeah.
Love the game. I've watched Don't Fuck With Cats.
Oh, you've heard Netflix. A lot about that as well.
Very good.
I don't like the idea of a cat being killed, so I don't want to watch it.
Well, this is the whole tenor of the whole people's argument. Man abuses a cat or a couple of cats and then enrages some people, and they go out in search of this man who goes on to do something, if not worse. The same.
Don't say
it. Spoiler it.
Yeah, don't say
but I mean, it's a true life crime. So you shouldn't really sort of go, oh, I need the suspense to be interested in the documentary. But it's pretty horrific.
The thing I've got on my list to watch is Tell Me Who I Am, which is another Netflix doc, which is supposed to be brilliant. So maybe I'll add that to the list. I also spent last Saturday, Pete, putting a TV on the wall and a shelf, and I was able to do it,
mate.
I was very proud of myself.
Let me talk about visa brackets. Talk to me about the brackets.
No, I just drilled into the wall, put the...
Through the front of the screen?
Yeah.
I mean, I presume there was some fixing bracket going on.
Bang the nail. No, I've got one of those tilting wall mounts.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So it's like that,
yeah.
And you can tilt it down if you want to watch it in bed, and
visa,
tilt it up again.
Visa compliant? Does it come out of the headboard?
I don't know what you're saying, visa compliant, what does that mean?
It's like a standard for mounts on monitors.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. It probably is. So it's on the wall, and you can tilt it down and up, down
I'll
and
show
up.
Show you a picture.
Down and up.
I'll show you a little picture of what my
picture
finished
of the Witcher.
With. There we go. There it is. There.
Oh, nice. What's underneath it?
It's a shelf a with a shelf PS4 with on it.
PS4. Bed-based PS4 fun.
Yeah, like that.
Like it.
For when the wife kicks me out.
Is that your? Well, you'll be kicked out of the bed. She'll be in the bed, won't she?
No, but that's a spare room, Brett. Spare room.
Oh, mate. So you got
little man cave, isn't it? Little man cave.
Thank you. Oh,
40 this year.
Could
be 40 this year.
I had you pegged as something better.
Got no kids.
Outrageous.
Emails. Let's do some emails, but let's take a break first.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Me mine today. I'm going to show you what I've been doing to take care of the pantry moth situation.
Yeah, I should read you some more of those. It's back to the Luke and Pete Show, and if you want to get to the show, it is hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. I took over the reading out of the email there because Luke last week got it wrong. Monday.
It's on Monday.
I got that wrong. Hi, Luke and Pete, says Paul O'Brien, possibly a third O'Brien brother from Radiohead. Possibly not. Is it Ed O'Brien?
Yeah,
something else O'Brien.
Is there? I know Ed O'Brien.
Oh, no. Who were the two brothers in Radiohead? Johnny Greenwood and the other Greenwood.
It's the Greenwoods, I think.
That's the Greenwoods. Ignore me. Hi, Luke and Pete. Long-time listener, first-time emailing. Lovely to have you along, P.O.B. Just wondering if Luke could give me more information about his Taskmaster experience. I'm planning to hold a Taskmaster based over the next 12 months, with the final task being inspired by his last task of finding the Taskmaster in Zone 1. Any ideas for tasks? Would be greatly appreciated. And how was each task monitored and judged? Did you have a situation where there were alternative tasks that could have been the task for the final that he was going to go for?
No, I don't think so.
Right,
no.
Was it that or nothing?
My friend Duncan was the guy who ran the whole thing, and he's the brains behind it. So I wouldn't want to steal any of his thunder. But what used to happen was, Paul, we'd get an envelope through the post once a month with a seal on it, a stamp on it, open it up, and it'd have the task in there.
Right.
With all the instructions you need. And then at the end of each month, there would be an unveil date, and he would tell you the scores. I think you came first that month, you got 5 points.
Mm.
Second, third, two, and hang on. You won, you got 5 points. You come second, you got three. You come third, you got two. And you come fourth, you got one.
Right.
There was a bonus live task on the unveil date as well, so you had to be logged into the WhatsApp group at that time on that date. And he would send you a task, and the first person to respond correctly with that easier task, you'd get an extra point. And then...
could you mail each other things?
No.
To like confuse people. Could you do a bit of or just send them writing and kill them?
But if I had sent like a fake task, it would have been outed pretty quick and I probably would have been punished. But because he's quite a well connected guy, Duncan, and also a very kind of thoughtful guy, he was able to get people to other people to judge certain tasks. So for example, the task where you had to pop a balloon in the most creative way possible, he got a guy from Aardman to judge it.
Aardman Animation?
Yeah.
Where's that come from?
Because we made animations and videos of how we did it.
Okay.
So he got to judge it. So there's lots of different things that went on. Yeah, it was fun. I could probably put you in touch with him on Twitter if you want, mate. Just hit me up and I will put you in the right direction. Paul also says in this email, Pete, love the show. My 2019 highlight came only a few weeks ago when you were both having a bit of back and forth and Pete congratulated a random contestant on MasterChef The Professionals pretending to spoil the finale, to which Luke's response was, "You fucking prick." The genuine annoyance from playful arguing is recognisable to anyone with a friend like Pete. Keep up the good work, Paul. I still haven't seen the finale yet, so don't spoil it, mate.
I sound cool.
On my radio show, I used to do a legendary, it is legendary, quiz every week.
Oh, give it the big licks. Now I don't have a radio show. Pathetic. I've got a radio show. Sort of thing, for 5 minutes.
Sort of thing you should have done your radio show and you wouldn't have lost it. Pete.
Congratulations to Arbinder for winning MasterChef.
Are you fucking
wanker? I'm not. I looked at the list at the start.
You fucking prick.
You absolute prick. I was trying to think of a name that couldn't be Andy Arbinder. There's a lot of them at the start, isn't there?
I think we can all agree that I sounded cool.
I agree.
Steve won with a rissol.
Have you got another email there, Pete? Because I've got one, but I need to queue it up.
All right, then. Hello to William Darby, the Luke, and the Pete. Greetings from Beijing, chaps. I spent my holiday listening to the back catalogue of another Stakhanov podcast, namely WrestleMe.
Great.
And it reminded me of something that happened while I was travelling around the US in summer 2012. It's not hugely related to any recent chat on the Luke Pete show, but I thought it might be in your wheelhouse. About 1 month into the trip, myself and a friend found ourselves in Chicago, and he decided for some reason that this was the city in which to get a new tattoo.
I love Chicago.
I like holiday tattoos. Have you ever had one?
Did you see that Jack, who does the Jack Mate show on Stakhanov?
He was getting a tattoo.
His mate got a tattoo of his YouTube channel because he lost a bet.
Whoa! Trouble. Like Gav does RKG. He used to work for IGN. Mm-hmm. And someone's got hand tattoos with RKG on them. Hand tattoos.
That's too far.
That's wild, isn't it? That's wild.
Too far.
While sitting in the chair, I got a really bad tattoo in on a trip to Berlin. And
Have I seen it?
In a restaurant. It's the Grim Fandango one. It looks terrible, and I was very hungover.
Where
so
is it?
I bled like a fucker.
Let me have a look.
It's Manny Calavera from... I can't lift my up my calves. Do you like my socks, by the way? They're Snap, Crackle and Pop.
Oh, yeah, Rice Krispies.
Rice Krispies.
Grim Fandango.
Rice Krispies. Grim Fandango. Manny Calavera from Grim Fandango.
I know what it is. Yeah, I've seen it.
Anyway, whilst in the chair mid-inking, a familiar-looking guy came in. He apologised and asked the artist if he could have a quick chat. Proceedings stopped and they had a conversation that was obviously business-related. The guy had a look at my arm, said it looked good, and walked out. As the artist started again, I turned to him and the conversation went something like this. Me? Was that the lead singer of Cancer Bats?
Oh, yeah.
I like Cancer Bats, they're good. Artist? No, it was CM Punk. He owns the place.
Nice. CM Punk is from Chicago, isn't he?
Just popping in.
I know he's from Chicago because I looked him up when I saw that email and I was getting him confused with John Cena.
Right, okay. Two very different physicalities. If I was going to dress up cosplay style as any wrestler, it would probably be CM Punk. He's got a very similar hairline to mine. Haircut.
You've interviewed John Cena, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yeah. Massive legs.
Yeah.
Big boy.
I love Chicago, by the way. Great town.
Yeah. Great news. We played there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Super. I think if you had to work in a business environment with CM Punk, you would not have a nice time.
Why is he?
He's just very intense.
Is he, yeah?
Needlessly intense.
More intense
dark.
Than me?
Bullish, I would say.
More intense than me?
Yeah, more intense than
More
you.
Intense than John?
No. Literally, no one is.
What about this, Pete, from Alec Lodge in Essex? He says, following on from your Are You Hanging Up Your Stocking on the Wall? Do you remember that? You played that. It was Slade's, can't remember the name of the song, but...
Here It Is, Merry Christmas,
yeah.
I guess.
It might be called Merry Christmas Everyone, isn't it? No, that's something else.
That's Shaking Stevens, isn't it?
I'll tell you a Christmas song you don't hear anymore.
Rolf Harris?
Gary Glitter's one.
Gary Glitter's. Did Gary Glitter have one?
Well, the rock and roll of Christmas. Oh, that's... I hear the Christmas rock and roll.
That is disappointing because that's a good song.
I know.
And it probably wasn't. You know what's a good song? Gary.
Because you don't hear it every 5 minutes.
No, I know.
That's why. Anyway, are you following on from Are You Hanging Up Your Stocking on the Wall? For those of you who haven't heard that, go back a couple of episodes and listen to it. I thought I'd send you this ridiculous edit of Africa by Toto, where all the lyrics are in alphabetical order. No idea why someone would even do this. Interestingly, drums echoing appear to be the only word still together in this edit. Here we go. So someone's basically cut the song Africa by Toto, that everyone knows, in a way that puts every word in the song in order alphabetically. Here we go. Bit of a longer intro than I remember, so I apologise.
Toto gets used for a lot of these things because it's quite an iconic track.
Everyone knows it, I guess.
Yeah.
So you're going to win. Africa by Toto. Alphabetized. That's what it says.
Nice. Oh, no.
Stuck on Africa for a while.
There's no craft to this. Just work. Move on to the bees.
Go on conversation now. Lot of do's.
If I played this, you'd insist that I stopped it.
Anyway, you get the idea.
Stop that.
Yeah.
Stop that.
I got as far as F, which is fair enough.
You've reached my limit.
Yeah.
Can I interest you in this?
What's this?
Mark Piggott has come up with this one. Oh, hang on. There we go. Working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. It's...
Don't You Want Me by Human League.
Yeah.
Actually very good, yeah. It's a very well-rendered one.
He hasn't re-recorded the vocals, which is good.
I can't wait for the chorus.
It's got to be working.
Yeah. You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. What a way to finish. I'm going to outro over the top of this. Luke and Pete Show. That's Thursday's episode done. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Yeah.
We'll see you on Monday. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com to get in touch with all your nonsense. We'd love to hear from you. Love you lots.
See you on Monday.
Don't you want us?
A Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.